Good morning. Welcome to Unity Church, where we have the finest folk orchestra of any church in town, at least this morning. It's wonderful that you're here. Thank you. This is a church that is committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. All gifts are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting Unity for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. If you are visiting or have not yet signed one of our registers so that we can be in touch with you, please do sign the visitor's book at the welcome table or out in the cloister by the Portland Avenue doors so that we can stay in touch. If you'd like a tour of the church, it's a good way to get to know a little bit of the history and to learn your way around. Ruth Stryker Gordon will be at the back of the sanctuary following the service and would be glad to give you a tour. We also invite you to take one of the classes designed for newcomers and those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on December 5th and January 9th. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity and are seeking a deeper involvement, please sign up for Finding Yourself at Unity, an all-day class, which will be offered on Saturday, January 12th. You can sign up for either or both of those classes at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, our weekly bulletin, which lists the upcoming activities in the church and serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement. There is no Wellspring Wednesday this week in deference to the Thanksgiving holiday. Wellspring Wednesday will resume on November 28th. Following the service this morning, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you may greet one another, peruse our excellent bookstall, and visit the information tables. This being Partner Church Sunday, there's a special exhibit and a series of invitations to involvement in our partner church relationship with the village of Homerode St. Peter in Transylvania. It's also the reason that this triune candelabra is in the chancel this morning. This was crafted for us by our friends in Transylvania and reflects the three-way relationship between Homerode St. Peter, Bilthoven in the Netherlands, a church called the Woodkapel, and Unity Church here in St. Paul. It's a marvelous set of relationships that we celebrate this morning. Following the service, both the Children's Library and the Anderson Adult Library are open and are located on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. In a special celebration for Partner Church Sunday, Orchestra Bez Amis, the folk orchestra that's here this morning, will be playing in the sanctuary during coffee hour. You're invited to come on back into the sanctuary and listen to them if you'd like, knowing, of course, that you may not bring coffee or donuts into this room. Thank you. There will be a guard at the door. We also have a correction in the order of service. In the hymn of affirmation, the second hymn, in the second verse, in the fourth line, it says, all herbs and fruits that richly grow, and then there is a line missing. And the line is, let them thy glory also show. Got it? Let them thy glory also show. Thank you. Next Sunday, the service is entitled Joy in Integrity, and it will be led by Hallman Ministerial Intern Matt Alspa and Worship Associate Neely Crane Smith. Services are at 9, 11, and 4:30. Our chalice lighter for this service is William Cook. Following the service, Sharon, Carrie, Jan, and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
The season of gratitude. In this season, we gather to give thanks for our blessings and our aspirations, to remember other Thanksgivings and to revisit Thanksgiving myths, and most importantly, to celebrate the gifts of family and friendship. May we cherish those who are with us and others who are separated from us by geography, estrangement, or death. Finally, may this focus on gratitude enable us to live more gracious, joyful lives. Come, let us worship together.
Thank you. remain standing and join with me in the unison reading, number 471, in the back of your hymnal. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony with the divine. Thus do we covenant with each other and with God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live with mental illness, those in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Sylvia Souchere. We hold her son John, his wife Marcia, and their family in our embrace. A service to celebrate Sylvia's life will be held here Thursday, November 29th at 4 p.m. Our hearts are with the Lane family as they anticipate the death of Eric's mother, Miriam Lane. Mimi is in hospice care and lies close to death. We pray her children's love for one another will be renewed in light of the loss of their mother. We grieve with Mary Anderson, whose brother Jimmy died this past week of ALS. Meg Arnasti's father, Hal Maldi, died this past week in Colorado. We hold Meg and her family, Don, Nick, Nathan, and Libby, in our embrace. Cindy Anderson's father, Burke Ivan Anderson also died this past week. We grieve with Cindy and Michael and their daughter Mara as they say goodbye. Laura Frickman's father has suffered a stroke and is in critical condition. Mary Temple had a fall and broke her arm. We wish her a full recovery. Cynthia Stange is living with a diagnosis of kidney cancer and asks our prayers. And we pray for the continued recovery of 5-year-old Avery Gallagher. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world, and especially in the midst of this crisis with our neighbors in Pakistan, who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those you've brought here in your hearts. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, Thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us as we would be with one another. At this time, when tradition teaches us to count our blessings, help us to remember to be thankful not only for the abundance which surrounds us, but also for those times of scarcity. Help us to recognize how useful it is to let our hearts settle into the scarcity, that we might remember what's most important in our lives. Not only the feast, but the fast times. Open our hearts in compassion, we pray, to all the neighbors we have never known. Strengthen us in our resolve sometimes to turn away and find the stillness, but always to turn back to this good world. Open our hearts in compassion, we pray, as we give thanks for this and every day. May it be so, and amen.
It takes a whole village to raise our children. It takes a whole village to raise one child. We all, everyone, must share the burden. We all, everyone, will share the joy.
It takes a whole village. Right.
Let the people say
amen. Amen.
Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. Usually we turn our attention on this Thanksgiving Sunday to the story of our pilgrimages to Transylvania and our partnership with our neighbors of faith there. But this year we decided that we would actually turn our attention to the first Thanksgiving that happened, because the story of our faith actually begins with the landing of the pilgrims in Plymouth. Our liberal faith, I might add, would not be recognizable to them that we were related. But nonetheless, there are many significant things that we do share in common, and significant things that we do not. And I wish that I could begin my story with the Thanksgiving meal so full of bounty, fellowship, and promise. But the real story behind the legend is, of course, much more complicated, and I believe ultimately more instructive to our purposes. So what do we know about our ancestors, the pilgrims? That they were persecuted for their religious beliefs, their ideals and practices, and that they fled that persecution to Holland and then made the courageous voyage across the Atlantic in the late fall, I might add, on a 90-foot boat from tip to tip. The stairs of this chancel are 38 feet long, I measured this morning. The wall to wall is 50 feet. Where they all lived with animals and their provisions was down below. And Carrie and I figure it was about 50 feet long, with the tip top being crammed full of animals doing their business. Most of the voyage, they traveled through heavy seas, so they spent much of their time down below. Most of us don't know that the pilgrims only comprised about half of the passengers on the original Mayflower voyage. They were referred to as the separatists. As Rob and I will both make clear, they were described as separatists because they kept themselves separate from those things that might corrupt their faith. Those people that were unclean, who were essentially the people who were not filled with grace like they were. The visible saints, as they referred to themselves. And I will add that it was very tricky for them when they started having children. Were their children visible saints as well? It was one of the questions that haunted their early communities. But on this voyage, the separatists traveled with the strangers, which is what they called anyone who was not in their community. And tensions started to mount between the separatists and the strangers. And though they had made an agreement early on in the voyage, or actually before they boarded the ship, that they would work together once they landed, the strangers declared that when they landed, they felt no sense of obligation to stay with the community and be part of it, that they would go off and form their own community. Now, the leaders of both groups knew that this stand was going to endanger the lives of everyone. And so they got together and they crafted an agreement for everyone to agree to, so that everyone would agree to stay together in this settlement, to work together. And they crafted a covenant called the Mayflower Compact. And this compact combined allegiance to both God and the civic body politic for the common good of the citizens. It stated that they would gather when needed to make decisions that affected the good of the community. And John Quincy Adams believed that this document was the beginning of democracy on our shores. Now, the pilgrims were willing to craft a covenant with the strangers, but they ultimately turned away from those not just like them. Mistrust with the native community began almost immediately. The first encounter they had, they fired a gun at the natives, conveniently left out of the story. And they persecuted, in turn, the Quakers who arrived seeking the same religious freedom that they had sought just a few years later. Now, they did, however, craft a covenant between the congregations that were created by the new immigrant churches. And the heart of that covenant says, we covenant to walk together in goodly fellowship. And that is the covenant that has shaped our congregational history. Now, there was a harvest meal that occurred between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag, the males of both tribes. But it occurred just before the relationship soured and mistrust between the group and ultimately violence defined the great majority of their interactions. So if this is part of what really happened, why do we hold up the traditional Thanksgiving story as our defining story and feast? Because it is a myth that is so full of hope and promise. Because that we do hope that strangers from different lands can sit down next to one another and break bread. Because we understand that we are dependent on one another for our very survival. And that when we sit down, that the language of the Spirit can translate almost anything, whether we can speak a common language or not. Now, both the pilgrims and the Wampanoag celebrated rituals of Thanksgiving, and those rituals had nothing to do with the harvest feast. And those rituals were carried through the centuries into our modern-day Thanksgiving meal. But interestingly to note, the pilgrims did not celebrate Thanksgiving rituals unless there was clear bounty. The Wampanoag and other native cultures celebrated Thanksgiving regardless of the circumstances. It's important to know our history as a people and as a nation. But as we embark on this most significant holiday, what matters is our promise to walk together despite our differences. Because it is the covenantal spirit of love that sustains us in our diversity, that encourages us to sit at the table with people we love but may not like terribly much, that calls us out from ourselves to be in right relationship with one another in ways that our ancestors could not imagine and therefore could not do. I am grateful for this covenant that binds us each, to walk with one another toward a better and deeper understanding of the ways of the Spirit, to walk by its wisdom and radiant light, willing to go where the Spirit leads us. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you, Jan. The canvas continues to go well, thanks to those of you who have made your pledges. The canvas could be completed if those of you who have not yet made your pledges would do so. We're trying to wrap it up in the next 2 weeks, If you've not picked up a pledge card, there are pledge cards available in the parish hall. Or you could just dig down through that pile of mail on your desk and fill it out. Thank you. Our offering today is to support the work of the partner church team here at Unity Church in the village of Homer Road St. Peter. Homer Road St. Peter is a village of 200 people trying hard to restore life after a long period of oppression under a dictator named Ceausescu. When he finally fell in 1989, the borders opened up, and pioneer pilgrims from Unity Church connected with a beleaguered people who had lived under terrible oppression for a very long time. Things have gotten better, but there is still significant poverty and significant need. Your contributions this morning will go to support scholarships for young people who have to leave the village to complete their secondary education, for various projects that the village has chosen to pursue. I ask you to give generously in support of this very fruitful continuing relationship. The ushers, please come forward.